Thanks so much for joining me. Now, firstly, what does the existence of autonomous weaponized artificial intelligence actually mean?
Well, it's as the name suggests, autonomous is where the decisions are in a sense being made by the machine or the computer that controls the machine. And that's the whole point of this letter to the Prime Minister, is really saying that, you know, there should be a human in the loop where important decisions like this about the deployment of weapons are made.
How exactly do these weapons differ from already existing killer robots, so to speak?
Well, again, I'm not sure there are a large number of killer robots, but it's really the point at which, you know, decisions are made about the use of the weapon. So what we're really saying is that there should be a high level of human input when important decisions are made about the deployment or the use of weapons.
Now, I understand nations such as Ecuador, Guatemala and Pakistan have signed preemptive agreements banning the existence of these kinds of weapons. Why is Australia yet to follow suit?
Australia's not really lagging too far behind. I guess it's a question that we haven't really debated. And again, this letter is really hoping to get some debate out there and some action on what we think is a really important issue. You might know already that there are decisions like this made for other types of weapons. So probably the most well-known one is use of lasers that could blind people. And they have been banned.
Well, I mean, I suppose it seems like the idea of artificial intelligence weaponry and, you know, moving on to that becoming all of weaponry does seem a little bit far off for a lot of people, which is potentially, I suppose, why it hasn't been addressed as of yet. But how far away is that from being the reality of warfare?
Well, we already have a lot of autonomous sort of machines. We're talking about self-driving cars. And again, the whole point is about where decisions are made and who makes those decisions. And we're suggesting that for this type of decision, that there should be a human in the loop there making the decision rather than the machine. So we're already, I guess, getting back to your question, we're already seeing autonomy in various things. As I said, autonomous cars, we're seeing them on the news every day. Maybe a little autonomous weapons are a little bit less so in the news, but again, there is a certain level of autonomy there already.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Professor Maurice Panuco, head of the School of Computer Science and Engineering at UNSW, about the need to ban autonomous weapons. Now, you and 121 other researchers have signed a document calling on the Turnbull government to ban these weapons. As the debate does ensue, as you've predicted, do you think Australia will agree to ban these weapons, or do you think there could be something different in the cards?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, again, as I said, it's about who's making the decisions and where you leave the decisions to be made. And we're suggesting that it's important that in this particular situation that there's a human in the loop somewhere when these sorts of decisions are made. So I'd certainly hope that, yes, we move in this direction and ban this type of weaponry.
Now, this prospect of a human in the loop, I want to address that very briefly. Is the notion of a human in the loop not so much to say to completely dismiss incorporating artificial intelligence into weaponry, but just to have a person overseeing the whole process just to give the green light? Or how much human involvement do you think is the standard that's needed to have this be an ethical proposition?
Yeah, look, I think that's a good question. And I think that's where the debate sort of needs to happen. So obviously in the letter, we haven't sort of given an indication of what level that should be at. But that's certainly, I think, the debate that needs to be had. What level of input's required, what sorts of decisions are delegated and what sorts of decisions are not delegated, but where a human has to take the responsibility.
Well, I suppose there's a lot of fear-mongering at the moment about AI. A lot of people are really excited about the prospect, and there's lots of everyday tasks, which I think we'd all love to have AI taken off our hands to do. But there is a lot of fear-mongering about it. In terms of the future of AI, What are things looking like at the moment? What are some other functions that could be taken off our hands that potentially do need a bit more human involvement to all go ahead ethically and above board?
Yeah. Look, this is a great question, I think, because, again, I think it moves the debate against the fear-mongering to what are the positive aspects of artificial intelligence? And we've already seen areas where AI can help people. So obviously, I think probably the obvious one that would be apparent to most people would be in medicine, where a lot of machine learning techniques and so on are moving into helping in diagnosis of diseases and so on. Assisted care is another one where you would have machines to help people be more independent at home or wherever, you know, nursing homes and so on. People recovering from injury and so on. So there's a whole raft of things where AI could make a significant difference to people's lives, and has already made a significant difference to people's lives. So it's, you know, this technology needs to be investigated. We just need to be debating its use in particular areas and trying to sort of understand the deeper issues that are here.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this debate does unfold now that the signed document by yourself and others has gone forward, and we do look to open up the discussion about AI's use in weaponry. Thanks so much for joining me, and I look forward to hearing from you again as things do progress.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.